is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Dense Pixels Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, joined by my co-host, Micah.
I'm tired.
Really tired. Look, here's the deal. You know, this show is flexible to accommodate whatever's going on in gaming. There's a lot of news this week. There's a lot of notable news this week. All of it might have to wait because we are coming out of one of the best weekends of gaming in recent memory that I can recall. I can't remember such an exciting weekend of games where I'm pretty sure I had to have spent at least damn near close to 20 hours playing video games this weekend.
And that's not, you know, like, you're married with children.
Correct.
And have a full-time job. Yes. You know what I mean? Like that is not something that happens to people like us.
No, my wife was contributing to the gameplay, as we'll talk about later on. So, we might not get to any news this week, but that's okay, because I'm sure that you guys would prefer anyway to hear me and Micah talk about the games that we were playing this weekend. Let's not belabor the point. Let's start with Street Fighter VI. A game that I have kind of dabbled in all of the different modes that the game has to offer a little bit. And I'm just starting my Street Fighter VI journey. To just kind of put in context where we are with this. I know Micah played 5 and revisited 5 much more than I did. I played 5 on release, and after a couple months, I was pretty much checked out on Street Fighter 5. Really haven't played much of Street Fighter since then, which means it's been a very long time since I really played a Street Fighter game. But 6, it's got me back in the mix, Micah. It's got me back in the mix hard. Just what a... I don't know, man. Like, it's... This is such a unique bird in terms of fighting games. It manages to feel very much like a Street Fighter game, and yet also to me like no other fighting game that I've played before, at least a 2D fighting game, just because of the moment-to-moment in matches feels so different in this game than in any fighting game that I can remember.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it kind of takes me, and maybe it's because we're old, mm-hmm. right? But, like, I can appreciate all these, like, anime fighting games, mm-hmm. but they don't click with me. My brain can't process them. And I've tried, man. I've tried Blaze Blue and Grand Blue and, mm-hmm. you know, Guilty Gear. And I've tried all these other games, and there's just something about them that I just can't get with. But Street Fighter is Street Fighter. And this feels like good old-fashioned Street Fighter. This feels like Street Fighter 4 Part 2, mm-hmm. Which was, you know, in essence, trying to be Street Fighter 2 Part 2. So, you said it before, and I'll echo these sentiments. It feels like the natural evolution of what 4 was, mm-hmm. And it has a. It takes all the best parts of all the other Street Fighter games and puts them into one. And that sounds like it would be kind of messy, but no, it works. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm digging the drive system. It's not as, it's like, you can do what you want, but like when you go into burnout, it's your own fault. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's, and you will go into burnout.
Well, and that itself opens up different strategic opportunities because your instinct when you go into burnout would be to play cautiously, but actually you're rewarded if you play aggressively. You just don't have the full set of tools available to you to use in that scenario.
Yeah, like you still have all your special moves, you still have all your supers, you just can't do all the fancy stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I used to think burnout was scary. Burnout's only scary if you're in the corner. If you're in the corner, then like
the corner in this game is the scariest corner in a Street Fighter game that I can remember. It is terrifying to be trapped in the corner, and it is exhilarating to have somebody trapped in the corner in this game. Yeah. Like you're like when you get someone cornered, like your eyes light up, and you just and I immediately start thinking of like, what can I do to press this? When is a good time to throw in a drive impact? You know, to give them that that frame of stun against the wall. And when I'm back in the corner, I'm just like, holy shit, how am I going to get out of this? Like trying to figure out, like, oh, I gotta get the hell out of here. And again, like playing against Kimberly's especially has been extremely harrowing because she is one of the most aggressive characters that I can ever call in a Street Fighter game. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who has that level of aggression and just like forward momentum at all times.
So I have I don't know who I'm playing, but they like I've played one Kimberly, mm-hmm. and that was like hours after the game release, so the person didn't, you know, obviously didn't know what they were doing. I think they were using modern controls, so like they really didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. People tell me Manon is like just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I haven't played against a Manon because like I haven't played against any grapplers actually.
I've played against a Manon and that was tricky. For sure. It was not Johnny. Johnny is, I think, maining her right now, so.
Yeah, like, it's, I try with Manon. I don't like half circle motions. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it just bothers me. So I might pick up Marissa as like a second. But yeah, man, I'm like, the lobby system, like, while I think lobby systems are kind of dumb, mm-hmm. This one works. Like, you know, sometimes I'll just be, like, in there, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wow, this is actually doing what, like, it's supposed to be doing. Like, I'm just in here.
Well, and it's funny, because when you and I played, we played on Friday night when it came out, and I was just in the lobby, just sitting in a cabinet, like, just training, waiting for someone to sit down against me. And you were able to see from the main menu, I was online, I was in Battle Hub. You were able to immediately join the server that I was in.
Your server, yep.
And mm-hmm. walk right up to my cabinet and be like, let's fucking throw down. Like I sat down and I was like, oh, like a Guile is challenging me. Cool. And then I'm getting the match. I'm like, oh, it's Mike. Like, that's really cool. That experience lends itself to just kind of doing that. You could also kind of go around. Looking forward to checking out some I was watching Max's channel earlier today, looking forward to checking out some freak fights in the fight pit in the Battle Arena, because you could fight with your avatar.
Yeah, man, like those people, I was just looking at them today, like those people are they are very creative. And there's no level, like a level, I was watching a level 57 fight a level 16.
Yeah, and the level, the level 57 has like two life bars stacked on top of each other.
Right, yeah. I was like, Jesus, man.
Because it's based, because like, and it's funny, because like if you care about like having a good character for that, which, you know, it's just dumb fun. Like there's no real reason to be good at avatar battles. But like you actually have to play World Tour mode in order to build up your fighter, which I also have checked out, and it's fine. Yeah. It's a distraction. Again, I think we've talked about how it's not really a mode that's made for us. I can see where somebody could potentially learn how to play Street Fighter that's never played it before through that mode. I don't think that's the most efficient way to do it. Like, I think the training tools that are in the fighting ground area are probably more cohesive. I think World Tour can teach you a lot of bad habits. Like if you're not careful. Man.
Yeah, man. Like it's so I played World Tour. I wanted to play it up to I was able to unlock Guile, so I'm gonna have Guile's normals for my created character, right? Mm-hmm. And fucking Guile doesn't unlock until like the end of chapter 8 of 12. So I just had to plow through like this story mode just so I can unlock Guile's normals. And and it's not, you're right, it's not as good of a teaching tool as they're kind of like marketing it to be. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's for like the uber casual fan, right? Yeah. Like maybe it's for the person who just like who uses dynamic mode, right?
Right.
And because it's not, you're right, it teaches you really bad habits. It, you know, especially at the earlier levels, like mm-hmm. when you fight Marissa is like the third person or something that you fight, but she's like brain dead. So you can just like jump kick sweep, jump kick sweep, jump kick sweep, like it's a Mortal Kombat game or mm-hmm. something. And you know, I get what it's trying to do, but you're right. Like all of the training materials, even just looking at the character guides mm-hmm. are a better resource if you like are serious about wanting to get into it.
Well, and those are great because the character guides will actually walk you through the key points or like the key ways to play the character. Like they'll show you their and you can practice their key normals, so you can see like the situations that those are best used in. It walks you through their special moves, and it really does explain like, hey, here's what's different between the, you know, the low, medium, and heavy versions, and you could practice their supers, and again, like if there's any differences in the supers, you can see what's different there. They actually like sit there and explain it to you, like not just like, hey, here's how you do this move, but like, hey, here's when you might use this. And then from there, you can go into just like regular practice, or you can go into the combo trainer if you want to start to learn some of the key combos for each
character. And the combo trials are actually like good. Mm-hmm. Like they're like decent like bread and butter combos that you can use, right? Like, because in a match, like unless you're just like super good and super confident in your execution, like you're not gonna be pulling off some of the stuff that like level 8.
No, no, but you want to at least, you know, have your two or three in your back pocket that you can,
yeah,
that you can whip out all the time. So,
yeah, and it does a very good job of like pointing those out, and you know the combo trials are beginner and intermediate are very easy,
mm-hmm.
And then advanced. You know, I'm old. I ain't worried about advanced. But I'm having a blast, man. Like, I know I said I was going to, like, oh, I'm going to pick someone new. Nah, man, I picked Guile because Guile fits like a glove for me, man.
Yeah.
And I absolutely, I love it. He doesn't have too many, like, he doesn't have too many changes. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's kind of what I want. Like, yeah. I want a character that I know how to play.
I'm going to take some time to go through the whole roster, because like I have Ken, and Ken is good, and I like a lot of things that Ken does. That like you said, they took what was good about him in 5 and just kind of translated that forward. Mm-hmm. And Luke is easy to play because if you're a Shoto dweeb like I am, then you know you can just pretty much pick Luke's control up without really knowing how it works, and you're good. But I'm gonna go through the whole roster to see if maybe there's someone else, because my other main is not in the game right now, so I don't know. So this is a good opportunity. Other? Say again.
Who's your other?
Sakura.
Main. Ah, okay.
So I have a chance to try some new folks. I did go through the arcade mode and mess around with JP a little bit. He's very interesting. Very difficult to just kind of pick up and play because his whole thing is controlling positioning on the battlefield always. Like his whole fucking jam is zoning characters and kind of setting traps for characters and not really being hyper aggressive, which is weird for me to kind of play a defensive style. But
it pissed me off. I fought a couple of JPs and I'm just like, yo, I'm just locked down.
Yeah.
And I got real annoyed. So
well, like, and I can see, like Guile. I could see with like a charge character, especially like Guile, he would be a difficult matchup. Like, and what I like about the arcade mode is that in this one, since there isn't like a main boss character, and I think they did this in 5 too, once they added an arcade mode, a proper arcade mode into the mix. But since there isn't like a main boss character in the game, they tailor the arcade matchups around specifically around each character. So not only do the fights get progressively harder, but like when you get to like the last person that you have to fight, like JP's last match is against Kimberly, and she is a terrible matchup for him just because her whole thing is pressure. And when your goal is to kind of dictate the pace of play, it's very difficult if someone's in your face all the time. He doesn't have a lot to be able to throw out to counter that. Like he really wants you to not be anywhere near him at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
JP's giving me trouble. Ken's giving me trouble because Ken's like every Ken player that I've played against, they're hyper aggressive, man.
Did I use Luke or Ken against you? I think I used Luke, didn't
you
I?
You used Luke. Okay. Yeah, you used Luke.
Ken's easy to be aggressive though. like right, that's the thing. He's right. He's super easy. I mean, like you know, you can like one of the cool things to do with Ken is like if someone's across the screen, like you can throw a slow fireball and then just dash in behind it. So they need to figure out like, oh shit, like what do I do? Because you can dash in and you can throw a hurricane kick. You can, you know, just do pressure someone to make a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that one move where that one kick that'll cross you up. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yo, cross-ups are literally the bane of my existence. I can't stand it. I can't. When you and I were playing, I'm like, I was literally screaming, stop fucking crossing me up, lad. Like, that shit was real annoying, man.
and that's why I like Luke. Like, Luke has so many things to do from that jumping medium kick cross-up that, like, you don't just have to go with the same bread and butter combo every time. Like, he can really mix it up.
He's got long range on that medium jumping crossing up. My Guile's only jumping cross up is light kick, and it's just the worst, man. It's the worst. So that's why I don't even bother trying. There's a different type of aggression that I have to do with Guile, and but yeah, man, I fucking love it.
It's been a really good time. It's just like I said, when you are, especially if you don't have a main to run to right away, like it does take a while to really get in it. Just because I do want to try a lot of the different characters. So like I'm hesitant to go online. Like all I've done so far is just casual matches. Like I haven't done any ranked matches at all yet. Unlike Micah, who's already been in ranked and is already leveling up.
Yeah, I'm still an iron. I'm not. You know, I'm not like for whatever reason. Like ranked matches really work because I'm the best matches that I'm getting are matches that are like at my skill level, in ranked, and I've only done like 10 of them, and I think I'm 5-5.
Well, see, like I'm letting the tryhards have a couple days to just shoot up the board so that I can, pad some easy wins against some scrubs when I first get on rank to get my confidence built up, and then once I reach like probably bronze or something stupid like that, like then I'll get my ass handed to me.
That's what I did. That's what I did in Battle Hub. Right, I was just going around. I was being a bit of a dick. I was going around finding arcades where people are using modern controls on the mm-hmm. first day and just playing them to get my confidence up to kind of pad my numbers.
And I know, apparently there's some controversy with the modern controls because, like, some players are worried that some pro players are gonna use it for guys like Geef, where it's, like, difficult to perform, you know, his special moves reliably, but obviously if you can do it with one button essentially, then it's a lot easier. We'll see if anyone makes it deep into Evo with modern controls. I'm skeptical that would be the case.
I mean, you can't be worried about one special move,
right,
when you know a quarter of your normals are gone. Right,
like, quarter of your normal, some of your special moves, because like I said, right. you get a total of five that you can map, and that's it. Some characters have way more than that. Plus, you have no control over which version you get.
Yeah,
so like that also makes it up, and you get a damage reduction when you're using
right control. So yeah, people are just finding excuses to like that's what Trump does, right? It's like, well, if I lose, it's rigged, and if I won, it was fair and square, right? Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, it's a fighting game. The cream will rise to the top. Yeah, and look, man, if someone is really that good with modern controls, they'll probably deserve to be that
deep right
into the mix, because there's a lot more than just executing as well. Like, you have to know the entire rest of the chess game that's going on.
Right.
And that's another thing too that's really cool, is I don't know if you played through any like the advanced tutorials. They really go into like stuff that I wouldn't expect a fighting game tutorial to really cover and go into and stuff like that, which I thought was pretty neat as well. Like they really did build this game to get you trained up to being the concept is there. Like, hey, if you never played Street Fighter, like, we want you to be able to be to learn Street Fighter and get good at Street Fighter. And I don't know how long that's going to take, but I feel like it's at least theoretically possible.
Yeah, man. With I would love for someone to just go to like Capcom Cup, just like never have played a fighting game, or is just a lapsed fighting game player, and just go from like, well, what's this, to like just being in it. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, once they do tournaments, like if you win a tournament, congratulations, you're eligible. But it's. God, I love it, man. I'm having a blast playing it. I think I need to. I'm thinking about picking up Marissa, because I want to pick a new character, like someone brand new, not just a different character, but like I kind of mess around with Cammy just to be annoying sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I want to pick a brand new character, and JP is out of the question. Kimberly, as much as I want to like support black women, like ninja characters and command runners are just not for me. Manon, I really wanted to do Manon. I still might try, but execution is going to be a problem. Although I have seen like level 5 metal bros, and it's ridiculous, man. It's like 40-50%. Like it's stupid. It's stupid. Get out of here, man.
I did pick up this guy, so I'll have to report on how this goes for me, because I did finally get one of these stupid things. So
I'm very curious to see how that plays.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be kind of just retraining my brain to function
properly.
Because I've been playing on pad all weekend, so that, because my fight stick does not work with my PC because it's too old, so I've been playing with pad. We're gonna try the leverless to see if I can wrap my head around this, because you know, execution on the D pad or on the analog on the stick is always sometimes my downfall, especially when it comes to, like, supers and stuff like that. So we'll see if having buttons makes that a little easier. But again, it's probably gonna be tough to do it first, because it's just so different from how I'm used to playing. So, but we shall see. And this could also potentially, like, maybe when Tekken 8 comes out, I'll be poised to be curious to try that out. This could be an interesting way to do that. By the way, I like how Jamie literally, like, when you look at his supers, is they're just like, what if we made Eddie Gordo, but in 2 seconds.
Oh, man.
Like, they ripped this man off.
But, man, I really am enjoying that game.
Yeah, it's off to such a strong start. I mean, they announced today they have over 1 million players already, which, you know, for the first week, I know that, you know, we've all been trained in this era of, you know, Call of Duties and Grand Theft Autos and even Elden Rings and stuff like that. Like, 1 million in a week doesn't sound like a lot, but for a fighting game, which is a niche, you know, a niche category still, like, even though we talk about it on this show all the time, it's pretty impressive to have that kind of a launch. So,
yeah, man. So, go out there and look for me. If you,
oh yeah, we have.
If you want to fight the military,
we have a fight club. So if you're listening to this and playing Street Fighter 6, and you want to make sure you have a constant stream of people that you want to play with, that you're at least parasocially familiar with, go to search up the Dense Pixels FC Fight Club in Street Fighter 6, and you can find us.
There you go. All right. Look, you know where else you can find us? densepixels.com/fans. When you go to densepixels.com/fans, you'll be invited to our Discord, where you can talk about a litany of things. Street Fighter, video game news, wrestling, F1, soccer, a bunch of stuff over at densepixels.com/fans. Check out youtube.com/densepixels and subscribe. You can see my incredibly tired eyes because I was up playing Diablo, and then I remembered I had to go to work tomorrow, or, you know, today.
It'll do that to you.
Yep, and I this is what 5 hours of sleep looks like. So go to youtube.com/densepixels and subscribe and hit the bell and all that stuff that professional YouTubers tell you to do. Subscribe to all of our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts, including The Nerdpocalypse, Black on Black Cinema, Coming Distractions, and the weekly preview episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast. And if that's not enough, go to densepixels.com/premium for $5 a month or $50 for the full year. You get the fresh weekly episode, the hour and a half to 2 hour episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast, uncut and uncensored. They say a lot of wacky stuff behind that paywall. And as a thank you, you will get access to all of the back episodes that we've done for the Airing of Grievances, No Time to Bleed, The Men with the Golden Tongues, and Upstage Conversation.
Very good.
DenseSpecials.com/premium.
One of the other reasons that I have not played as much Street Fighter as I might like is because, of course, also coming out last week, if you are a sucker like me and Micah and bought the early access version of the game, is Diablo 4, which comes out probably today as you're listening to this, if you are not a sucker and just bought the regular edition of the game. I will say, again, in the spirit of learning what works and learning what doesn't work, probably put in about 7 or 8 hours so far of Diablo 4. And they have taken, I feel, the best parts of the other Diablo games and kind of incorporated that into this offering, to the point where it's, man, it feels like there's just a lot of things to do in this Diablo 4. And I actually feel like the move to an open world, despite the fact that, you know, there was some trepidation from folks about, you know, Diablo kind of moving to an open world style game, especially in the wake of Immortal having come out last year and essentially being that. And also with the addition of, you know, a shared world, you know, where you can see other players running around and things like that. A lot of people are nervous about that, but I think it's working really well. You know, I'm exploring through the game. Me and my wife are playing together. The world is pretty big, especially because they don't give you a horse until like 2/3 of the way through the campaign. So like you're hoofing it for most of your time, until you have a mount, and tons of ads to fight. The skill system makes you make a lot of hard choices, like Diablo 3, so Diablo 2, for those that don't remember, was a very, like, focused game in terms of, like, hey, you have so many skill points, and you can't really refund them, and so you better make good choices with your builds, and otherwise, like, you're gonna be fucking screwed when you get to the end game. And so that was really harsh. And then Diablo 3, they went completely the other direction, where you would just unlock all of your skills as you leveled up, and you could freely switch between them on the fly as much as you wanted to, with no cost whatsoever. So, like, you're like, oh, you don't like this build? Change it up with something else. And then they also had, like, the skill runes, which, you know, could change how that build operated, and that was cool from a experiment point of view, but it didn't feel like your choices had any real permanence, because all you could do is then just switch it to something else. And then Diablo 4, they've taken the best of both worlds. So they said, okay, we're going to take the skill system of Diablo 2, we're going to make it really restrictive in terms of how many skill points you get. You're not going to be able to unlock everything, but if you find yourself down a path that you don't like, or if you find a legendary that you then want to kind of respec into, then you can respec. It's going to cost varying degrees of gold, depending on how much you're respecing and how late in the game you are, like how high level your character is. But you can do it. And so the option is there, and then you can go through and kind of respec your trees. But it's been interesting because in the way that I made my build so far is I'm at level 25 already with my character, pretty close to it. And I've only unlocked 4 actual skills. Like my bar, like my action bar is not even full yet. Like, because I only have 4 skills in there because I'm putting more points into making those like bread and butter skills more effective and really just kind of building my rogue out with a very focused direction. And my wife is kind of doing the same. She's going a little bit wider in terms of what she's doing, but she still is a very focused like druid build where she's like a storm casting druid. And that's really what she leans into more than anything. So, I'm digging that quite a bit. I like that it has the trappings of an open world game where as you're exploring the open world, you might find public events. And I don't think I've done a public event so far where I haven't also run into another player, which I just think is neat. Destiny 2-like in that regard, which is really just an MMO trope. But, you know, that's what it reminded me of. As you're going to your destination, so like, you know, they make it so that you're kind of forced to explore this world because usually when you're doing the main story missions, everywhere you go, like it sends you to like this remote portion of the map that you haven't been to yet. So you have to traverse your way over there. And then on the way, like you'll meet NPCs to give you side quests. You'll find cellars, you'll find dungeons, you'll find strongholds. And they're just really encouraging you to kind of naturally explore. Which I think is good. I think it feels natural. Like it's not as natural as like Elden Ring, obviously, because there's still like waypoints and markers on the map and shit like that. And you're not really discovering it for yourself, but you still have to kind of happen upon it. And do that, which I think is pretty cool. And the loot, we'll see how the loot progresses as the game goes along. I'm still on World Tier 1. So I've gotten like one legendary. Like I got my first legendary a couple levels ago at this point. And that's the only one that I've gotten so far. My wife hasn't even gotten any so far. So we'll see if the drops become more plentiful. But they really do ease you along from a system standpoint as well. Like, you know, early on, you know, they're slow to unlock skill points. You're not allowed to gemcraft early. You're not allowed to use the blacksmith early. Then, you know, they kind of give you a little bit more. It takes you till level 15 to unlock your character's like specialty as well. So again, they really, I feel like they're doing a good job of getting you used to playing before they just kind of throw all these systems and shit like that at you, which I feel is a good way to do it. And like I said, the game is long. There's a ton of content. I mean, I'm at level 20, you know, right around 25, and I still haven't even finished Act 1 yet. Like I'm still progressing through the Act 1 story because we keep getting, you know, side quests and dungeons and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I picked this is the game that I did step out of my comfort zone in, and I picked a sorceress. And I just hit level 20. And I'm enjoying it. Like I've tried to figure out like what my playstyle is, right? Sorceress can use, you know, lightning, which, you know, kind of paralyzes people, burning or freezing. And I ended up kind of settling on freezing because, you know, they have certain AoE spells that can like flash freeze someone. And then, you know, if they're weakened, you can just shatter them. Mm-hmm. And when you shatter them, it's an explosion that triggers the other frozen enemies. And so I'm really enjoying my time with the game. I usually play it after the kids are in the bed, just because, you know, I don't need all that screaming, because I want to pay attention to what's going on. But yeah, man, it's like I'm running around. I don't know how far I am. You know, because you can kind of pick each act. Can't you like pick each act?
Yeah, the first three acts can be played nebulously. Like you can kind of pick where you go and the order that you tackle them in. Acts 2 and 3 are level gated, but only just. Like you can probably gain enough levels to access those on the way to them. I would imagine, as long as you're fighting ads. So
yeah. So but I think I'm still in Act One, which feels very long. But maybe it's because, like you said, I'm walking around and killing everything that I in my way. Yeah, man, it feels good. Look, I'm not a huge like Diablo person. My first Diablo was Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. And even then it took me a while to kind of get used to it. And I enjoyed my time, but it wasn't like addictive. But I really am enjoying this. And I'm thinking about who I want to start next. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very fun, and I've been kind of digging into looking at builds and, you know, seeing what other people suggest, and the problem is, like, every build that I see is for, like, here's a level 50 plus build.
To really make a true build, like, you have to be level 50, because that's where you have all your skill points. Like, you only earn skill points up to level 50, and then after that it's just paragon points. So that's why they're all level 50 plus, is because you need the full allotment of skill points to build it out the way.
All right,
you need certain legendary affixes as well. That's the one thing, because I haven't had a lot of legendaries, I haven't really gotten to dabble in that system. You do gain some legendary affixes by completing dungeons, which is interesting. That they have set up that way. Yeah,
I have a couple, but I didn't know what to do with them.
You put them on legendary items is what you do. So like if you get a legendary where you're like, hey, I like the stats on this thing, but because the affixes are randomly rolled, I think. So they're just one of the other things that can roll. I think there's a couple like unique legendaries where, you know, it has like a specifically, you know, defined set of characteristics on it. But most legendaries, I think, in the game will roll with the random affix. So if you don't like that affix and you're like, I'd rather have this one for my build, you can just replace it on another one. Or if you get a legendary that has an affix that you don't have, but you don't need to keep the item, you can actually yank the affix off of it, and then you have that on your account. Like, I think those affixes extend to all characters on your account, which is also interesting. So it'll be curious to see how that extends. I really like the presentation. Like, I, unlike a lot of people, did not have a problem with the very brightly colored aesthetic of Diablo 3. Probably because it was also my first one as well, so I didn't really know any different. But I do like the kind of return to, like, a grimdark setting that they have. In this one, I think it looks very pretty, even though it is meant to look very, very hard. I think the plot is voice acted pretty well for the most part. Like, I think the voice acting is a lot better than we've seen in other Diablo games. Kind of like the fact that the story, at least for now, doesn't really evolve around any of the prime evils or lesser evils, which is interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, them get back into the mix a little bit later on, but who knows how the story will unfold there. I think it's just a really solid game. And like I said, it handles co-op pretty well. I do recommend, if you are playing with someone, that you go into the instance of the world with the character who's less further along in the story, just because they'll only get credit for missions if they are progressing like them. If you send them too far ahead, like they'll be able to hang in your world, but they won't get credit for any story missions that you do, which is a weird way to kind of set that. The other thing I really like so far is the enemy encounters. So even the like normal enemies they're not designed to be hard, but there's some enemies that give certain classes a lot of trouble. Like, so I'm playing a ranged rogue. So I'm a bow shooting rogue. And so enemies that get in my face are not great for me, because I don't have a great way to deal with enemies that are close to me. So, like, when a swarm of ghouls comes my way, like, that's a really big fucking problem. Yeah. Whereas my wife is like a fucking axe-wielding druid that can summon, like, lightning magic and tornadoes and stuff like that. So she has a problem with, you know, ranged classes that are flinging really powerful spells from afar at her. So we make a nice tandem because she can deal with the people that are annoying me and I can pick off the people that are ranged with her. And then the other thing I have to say is the boss battles compared to Diablo 3 are really excellent. Just because they're actually like mechanics driven. Like you can't, like in Diablo 3, like once you got your build to a certain point, you could just fucking face tank every single boss in that game and just fucking run up to him and just hack away and just like eat damage. And maybe you pop a potion every now and then, or more than likely, you have a build that's just regenerating health faster than a boss can deal it to you. So, like, there was really no challenge. In this game, the bosses can be pretty challenging. Like, me and my wife both came pretty close to eating it on a couple of the boss battles because they have, you know, planned attacks. Their attacks change as their health bar lowers, and they have a shitload of health that at least in this early game... before you have like your mega builds, you know, your face melting builds, can't deal damage as efficiently. So it is posing a little bit more of a challenge. And again, I'm just on world tier one. I haven't even kicked it up to the harder difficulty yet. So
yeah, there's no way I'm going beyond world tier one until like I at least get to 50, man. Cause like you said, like my sorceress is like, she can instantly like flash freeze enemies and just blow them up if mm-hmm. they get close, but that's like every 14 seconds. So there's a lot of moving and shaking I got to do to kind of get people off of me, and I'm soloing it, so it's a little, it's not hard, but it's not bad. But bosses, on the other hand, like you said, they do require a little bit of thinking, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I went into one on a story mission, and I was just like, all right, whatever, like I can just knock this out real quick. And my companion did not come in with me. I was like, oh, okay. It's like, well, here's a boss now. And I'm like, all right, well, she doesn't look big, right? She doesn't like physically look big. But she still had like the boss health bar. So I'm like, all right, I can do this. And then I'm getting mollywopped and I'm like, oh shit. Like I gotta, how far is it to that first like triangle? Cause I gotta ration these health potions, man.
if it's the boss that I'm thinking of that you fought, and that was an interesting fight too, because that the arena gets like progressively smaller. Like basically you're fighting in a circular arena and you can't really go into the middle of the circle. And as the fight goes along, that area that you can't really go into without getting hard CC'd gets bigger and bigger. So like you're kind of just fighting on the outer lip of the circle, and she has all these attacks that, you know, cover like a wide swath and stuff like that. So it's I really like how they kept the dodge. Like Diablo 3, in the console version, they added a dodge for the first time. PC didn't have that. Well, they kept the dodge, but they put it on a cooldown timer. Like in Diablo 3, you could dodge infinitely. Like you could just dodge like crazy, and it was super easy. This one, it's on a 5-second cooldown, so you can't spam it. So it really does, you know, require you to look at, you know, your positioning and to see, you know, to read the boss's tells, because like I said, they telegraph the attacks, and you can see generally where they're coming from, but it still doesn't make it easy to avoid them sometimes. So yeah, overall, just really, really tremendously fun. Again, I'm also looking forward to getting in that higher level and getting some legendaries so that I can really look and see, okay, like how do I want to really sit down and craft this? I'm fully expecting to have to go back and respec at some point.
Oh yeah,
just because. Well, it all depends on your legendary. Like right now, I'm running a bow shooting poison build with my rogue, like where I can set poison traps and I can also empower my arrows with poison as well, which is great. But if I get a legendary that's like, oh, like you should actually be running around sneaky stabbing people, I'm like, well, I guess I'm gonna have to just use all the sneaky stabby skills and make that happen. So
yeah, man, look, it's a hell of a weekend for gaming, and for me, Final Fantasy comes out at the end of the month. So
God, yeah, not even the end of the month, it comes out in like
A week and a half. Like, yeah. So, and I'm very much looking forward to this.
And it's Summer Games Fest weekend as well this weekend.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, the Summer Games Fest main presentation is on Thursday. The Xbox showcase, followed by the Starfield showcase, is on Sunday, I believe, this coming Sunday. So,
all right,
yep,
all right. That's time. Is it going to be time to blow the dust off of that obelisk, that big black obelisk that's on the other side of my entertainment center?
I wouldn't know, because I've discovered YouTube. So before we get to talking about Amazon, so I was on YouTube. So I have YouTube Premium, as everyone has made fun of me in the past for paying $10 for YouTube. I'm telling you, once you've watched it without ads, it is literally impossible to go back. But anyway, they also give you like partner offers and shit like that, right? So like I just happened in there and they're like, oh, how would you like 3 months of PC Game Pass for free? And I'm just like, well, this couldn't have been better timed if you fucking paid me. So I have PC Game Pass now until August. And I've already dabbled. Like there's a bunch of games in my Steam wish list that just so happen to be on PC Game Pass right now. So like, this is great. Like I literally bought, because apparently like Warhammer 40K Darktide got fixed. So I literally bought a copy of Darktide. And then like the next day I was like, oh, like let me see what's on PC Game Pass. And wouldn't you know it, there's Warhammer 40K Darktide. So I'm like, well, let me refund that back to Steam because I don't need to buy that yet because I could try it for free and see if I like it. Quick impressions. I only played it for like an hour. It's fun so far, but I need to play it more to see if it's worthwhile. So,
all right, excellent. Let's see. Is there something that I can type in for Amazon? Pick up where you left off. No, none of that's interesting. Go to densepixels.com/Amazon for all of your Amazon purchases. And when you do, you help us out and you get yourself what you want. We get a very, very tiny kickback as a thank you. And it's a win-win-win for everyone, especially the giant corporation that doesn't care about either of us. I went to densepixels.com/Amazon and just typed in Street Fighter, not Street Fighter 6, just Street Fighter, to see what the first couple of things come up. The sponsored item is a Street Fighter 2 The World Warrior plush throw pillow blanket for $27.99. Okay. The next thing is the actual result. When you type in Street Fighter at densepixels.com/Amazon, is Street Fighter II the animated movie from 1996. Look, do yourself a favor, young people. If you've never seen the Street Fighter II animated movie from 1996, go watch it. It's really good, and it pretty much kind of shaped the future of where Street Fighter is story-wise.
Yeah, and I will say, from a quality standpoint, not necessarily a entertainment standpoint, but from a quality standpoint, it is definitively the best Street Fighter movie that has ever come out.
It is. It quite literally is. You can thank this movie for all that cool shit you saw in Street Fighter Alpha. And look, you young people who have never seen the who are Vega fans, he's okay. You might want to pick your mains a little differently.
Yeah.
Next time, I'll just say that. Also, you know, very formative for 16-year-old Micah to see that particular scene. So yeah, densepixels.com/Amazon.
Oh my god. So Micah had enough to deal with just Street Fighter and Diablo, but because I'm a masochist, I had to throw a third game into the mix because Super Mega Baseball 4 came out. And again, like this is another case where they took what, you know, Super Mega Baseball 3, fantastic game. Very popular, within its niche, of course, and you know they great, you know, fucking fantastic. They iterated on it throughout its life and added a whole lot of extra modes to the game, and that they got to start on that platform with 4, which, you know, is already off to a great start. And they took what worked about 3 and they made improvements. You know, so they used the, you know, more powerful graphical engine that they have access to make the players look, I don't want to say more realistic, because they're not kind of really intended to. They look more detailed is probably the way to put it. Okay. Some of them look very weird, that's for sure. The big addition to the game this year, though, is they added 200, I'm going to use the term legends loosely, but they added 200 retired Major League Baseball players into the game, all of whom fit kind of the aesthetic of Super Mega Baseball. So for those that have never played it or are familiar with the series, Super Mega Baseball is a sim baseball game with an arcade presentation. So, like, it plays like a simulation game, like an accessible sim. It's not as complicated as, like, the show. But it plays like an accessible sim, but the presentation is very kind of, like, you know, arcadey. Like, the characters look very cartoonish, and, you know, it's very tongue-in-cheek, and they have funny names like Hammerlong Ballo, and, you know, and things of that nature. Like it's very funny. Like, the, you know, the team names are funny, and they have, like, outlandish cartoon logos. Like, they have the Sirloins and the Bee Wolves and the Grapplers, which are like octopuses and stuff like that. And it's so that part is fun. And so when they choose these former players, they picked players that had, like, outsized personalities to put into the game. So, like, the cover athlete, along with Hammerlong Ballo, is David Ortiz, which makes perfect sense. Like, it's 100% lock that David Ortiz is in this game. Like, Joey Bautista is in this game. Bartolo Colon. If you don't know baseball, just Google Bartolo Colon. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense that this dude would be in this fucking game, because he looks like that type of character. And they even go back as far as, like, all the way to the 1960s. Like, Hank Aaron's in this game. Ernie Banks is in this game. Babe Ruth is in this game. Like, you can fucking be Babe Ruth. You can be Bob Feller. You know, all these, like, legendary baseball names. So that's cool. And what I really like about it is that they've incorporated those legends into the game in a way that makes sense. So they have, like, 8 teams that are comprised solely of, like, these legendary players, right? Which makes, you know, you can use them in exhibition mode. Here's the thing. You can also freely choose to include these teams in, like, your franchise mode or not. Or you can actually, instead of just taking the teams, you can have those players be, like, the free agent pool that gets populated into the game year over year. So, like, as you're going through a franchise, like, you know, there's always some new free agents that come into the game, and because other ones are retiring. So, like, you can have, like, them be, like, these legendary MLB players if you want to. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. The game will just generate new players for you instead. They also did something really clever. So one of their online modes is called Pennant Race, where basically it's actually very Street Fighter-esque, where you get grouped into you know, groups based on your skill level, and a pennant race lasts for a week, and every week you're grouped with, like, 16 other players, and you fight inside this mini division to try to win the division to get like rewards and stuff like that. And what they're doing in Pennant Race is they're saying, all right, like, you have to pick your team, and that's the team you use for the entire pennant race for this week, but we're going to take 4 players from the team, and we're going to get rid of them and substitute 4 legendary players into the mix instead of those 4 players. So, like, you kind of get a little bit of a sprinkling of them here and there. And what I also appreciate is that the legendary players, they didn't make them just, like, fucking god tier just to do them. Like, they balance them with the rest of the characters in the game. Like, you have legendary players that are rated, like, a B- or a C+. They're not just all, like, A's and S's and shit like that in the mix. Yeah. Which is great, because it makes them actually usable in the different modes. You know, the franchise mode is one of the modes that I basically play franchise and pennant race the most. The franchise mode, they made a lot of really smart additions. So, like, the way that franchise worked in 3 is when you were done your season, your players would just, like, there is no, like, contracts in the game. Like, everyone has a salary, but there's no, like, term that you sign them to. And so randomly at the end of the season, like, certain players would opt for free agency. and you could try to re-sign them, but, or you could just let them go, or you might have like no one leave, which is, you know, obviously ideal if your team does well. But it was funny because what I got really good at doing is I got really good at drafting, not drafting, but like signing really young players to like cheap contracts, developing them over 2 or 3 years and like making them all-stars. And then when they opted for free agency and got like a big raise, I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay that. So you can go to some other team and I'll develop like the next young player. Like that was kind of the mode. But there were people that were like, man, like I really like this one player. Like it really sucks that he left. Like, you know, I wish we could do something about that. Well, they added a loyalty rating to each of the players in franchise mode now, where each player has like a loyalty rating. And the higher that rating is, A, the more likely that they'll, because the way it works now is that at the end of the season, you have to re-sign all of your players. Like you have to re-sign every single player in your team before they go to free agency. And so the way it works is that like if a player's loyal to you, he'll ask for less money. Or like he'll ask for like the same contract that he had before. He's like, yeah, like I really like playing here. I don't want any more money. Just pay me what I got paid previously and I'm good to go. Wow. But if they're less loyal, they'll be like, either you have to give me like a big raise or I'm going to go fucking, you know, I'm going to go play somewhere else, which I think is really cool. And then during the season, they have these like little like scenarios pop up where it's like, hey, like, this is literally one of the scenarios. I'm not making this up. Like, oh, like you farted in the clubhouse and have to blame it on one of these players. And they're like, pick one of these players to blame it on. And whichever player you pick, they lose loyalty for the team because they're upset that you blame them for farting at the clubhouse. That's like the kind of game like Super Mega Baseball is.
That's funny.
so that's really interesting. But what it also does is it makes the concept, because there's no trading in the game, because you can't really do trades between teams because you don't have anything to offer but players, right? So, like, you can't, like, there's no draft picks to make trades, like, equitable. So, but what this means is that what you could do is that what the, like, what teams will do in SMB is when they get closer to the end of the season, they'll shed all of their, like, a lot of their high contract players, because the lower your salary is, whatever the difference is, you get that money in development funds to make your players better. And so, like, if your payroll is lower, you have more money to develop the players that you have. So you would see, like, a lot of, like, you know, later in the season when teams are out of playoff contention, they would, like, get rid of their superstar to free up $20 million in payroll on the team. Mm-hmm. So now, because you have this system where you get to choose whether you re-sign someone or not at the end of the season, you could ostensibly, like, rent big-name players at the end of the season that you just are signing, you know, for that playoff run, knowing that you're just going to cut them loose at the end of the year, which I think is pretty cool as well. From the gameplay standpoint, the big addition that I really love, so in SMB3, they had traits that would be randomly, not randomly, but they were assigned to different players, like, you know, more, you know, better contact against left-handed pitchers or, you know, utility players, so they don't have a fielding penalty when they play out of position and kind of shit like that. Super Mega Baseball 3 had 20 of these traits. Super Mega Baseball 4 has 75 of them. So almost every player in the game has at least one trait, and like the super players have like two. But this is just really interesting because a lot of the traits, like they said that they did this to make the batter pitcher confrontations more enticing and more, not dramatic, but just more interesting from moment to moment. And they really do, because a lot of the stuff they added really makes you think about like how you want to pitch somebody or how you expect to be pitched to when you're going. So I think that's really great. Where they have failed, and to be clear, like I say fail, Super Mega Baseball 4 is fucking excellent. Again, they took everything I loved about 3, most of it they made absolutely better. Where it's a little bit worse is it got EA'd a little bit. It got EA'd a little bit. So EA Sports bought Metalhead a couple of years ago, who's the developer of Super Mega Baseball. And so whereas EA Sports giveth, because I don't think Metalhead would have been able to swing this deal to get all these legendary players in the game if not for the EA Sports backing, EA Sports also taketh away. So instead of this, like, you know, interesting, like, you know, like rock soundtrack, the game has like licensed tunes and like a like a fake radio station that plays while you're in the menus and stuff like that, where it has like a DJ and shit like that. And I guess that's fine. It's kind of lame, if I'm being quite honest. So and then in the game itself, they added shit that's just kind of weird. So like, they have a PA announcer, and they had a PA announcer in the other game, but the PA announcer would just announce like, "Hey, like now batting like so and so and so and so." And now the PA announcer in this game sounds like this, and he's got kind of a wacky voice, and there's some funny things that he says between innings and stuff like that. And then, so again, just kind of irritating. I don't need that to be there. I wish you could turn it off. You could turn the PA announcer off completely, and I suppose that would fix it. But then you lose a little bit of that stadium ambiance, right? And then the other thing they do that's really weird, and again, I don't know why they did this, is like when you like make connection with a pitch, or like when you're like holding the button down to throw to a base, like and that meter is filling up, there's just some weird sound effects, man. Like when you hit a fly ball, it sounds like a plane fucking taking off, and I don't know why they did that. Like when you load your throws, like you hear this like little fucking guitar riff like happening. Like I don't need any of that stuff, man. Like just give me the crack of the bat. And it's funny because the bat in this game, like when you really fucking mash a ball, it sounds great. Like it sounds really good. Like hearing the catcher's mitt pop on like a 99 mile an hour fastball, that sounds good. I don't need all the other bullshit, man. I really fucking don't. I don't need like the crazy umpire calls. Like, you know, again, just give me ball, give me strike, or you can even exaggerate, give me a strike, you know, or something like that, or one of those. I don't need like, that's definitely a strike from the umpire. Like, I don't need that. I don't need it. So like,
yeah, come on. Yeah. Like, that's just odd.
So again, none of that stuff's going to stop me from playing it. It is definitely a better game than Super Mega Baseball 3 is. But that stuff just, I really needed to kind of fade into the background for me, because it's just irritating for no reason. And again, I feel like that's EA Sports, like, fucking putting their thumb on the scale a little bit with this one and saying, like, you know, it'd be cool if we did dumb shit like this. So,
yeah, that's like the producer, like that's like a junior producer who wants to contribute, right? And it's just like, well, what if the umpire said, you know, that's definitely a strike there, buddy? Like, what?
Yeah. There's like they have one umpire voice who, and again, I'm really not. This is gonna sound stereotypical. I don't mean it to be. They sound like they're speaking with a Japanese accent, but they're actually speaking Spanish, and I don't know why. Like was that an intentional choice? Is my ear just like fucking hearing things like that aren't there? These are the questions that I have to ask myself. As I play through a game of SMB4. So again, mostly good. There's some dumb shit that's annoying. Overall, it's a great game, and I just wish hopefully they'll add a update where you can disable the stupid sound effects that are in the game. So we'll make a quick dip in the post office here. Daniel asks, is there a game that you like that was completely torn apart by critics and or fans?
No. There are games that I know are bad,
mm-hmm.
that critics had a, but it wasn't like critics were like, oh, this isn't great, or this is not, you know, this is not good, but they didn't like break out the thesaurus. You know, when mm-hmm. something's really bad, like that Gollum glint, like that Gollum game where it's my time to shine, baby. Let's break out the thesaurus and let's get the 25-cent words in this thing to talk about how bad it is, right? But like the last game like that I played that I liked was Saints Row.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew exactly what I was getting into with Saints Row. And yeah, it's not a good game, mm-hmm. but it's not a broken game. You know what I mean?
I'm sure that I have played games that have been reviled that I really enjoyed. I can't think of any right this second.
Yeah.
Because you don't, like, if you like something, like, you don't tend to, like, get distracted by... Actually, no. Never mind. I know what the answer to this question is. I really liked Mass Effect Andromeda when it came out. We did a review on it.
There you go.
We gave it... We said it was the second best game in the series behind Mass Effect 2. Do I still stand by that? maybe not. Like, I still think think it plays better than one. Doesn't have as good a story, but it plays better, I think.
It does play better than the original one. Yes. I do agree.
Yes, but there was never any point in playing Mass Effect 3 where I'm like, wow, this is a fucking pile of garbage. I'm like, no, this is fun. I'm enjoying myself. So that's probably the answer for me. Johnny says the internet turned half the Zelda characters into waifus and Ganondorf into a daddy. Why is this Carrie's fault?
Because Carrie is propagating the sexualization of elf people. And I don't know if that's kosher, because I'm not up on statutory elf law.
isn't Ganon a Gerudo?
You're right. You're right. Ganon is one of those people, the black people of this world, because they all have dark skin.
They're in the desert, man. Desert. Like it's kind of like how there can't be a white Jesus. Like, dude's in the middle of the fucking desert. Like, he's gonna have a tan.
You shut your heathen mouth.
Johnny also says, in terms of Street Fighter, are you happy with your main? And also, which character do you hate playing against? I think I answered both of these. I don't have a main yet that I've chosen. Right now, I'm just kind of sticking with Ken. Who do I hate playing against? Kimberly. She's too fast, man. She's too fast for me.
I'm very happy with Guile. It's Guile, but easier. Like, mm-hmm. You know, his level 3 used to be charge back and down, then forward and down, then back, then
let me,
down.
Let me tell you something. So I know this was in 5. And I didn't play a lot of 5, so I know that you're already used to this, but it was new to me. Where the fuck do they get off giving Guile a move that he can use as, like, a protection, like a protection move that he can also projectile it? Yeah.
What the fuck, Sonic man? Blade. Yeah. You gotta switch it up, man. You gotta switch it up.
I don't like that. I like being able to just reliably, like, look, if you're gonna throw a sonic boom, like, I'm gonna jump over it. It's great. Like, we're gonna, you know, I'm gonna try to pressure you so that you can't have time to charge up that flash kick. So, you know, we're gonna make this happen. Then when you throw that fucking thing out there, I'm like, well, I can't just fucking move in now. Like, what am I gonna do? But then if I stay back, you're gonna be like, well, I'm just gonna throw a sonic boom and you're gonna get it anyway. So
I love it. I love it. I hate fighting against JPs, and I hate Kens. JPs and Kens. I haven't really fought against a bunch of other people. I've played like 50 matches in the Battle Hub and like 10 in like 10 ranked matches, 10 or 11 ranked matches, and then matches with my friends. And I haven't seen a lot of variety. Like, that JP really stood out. The Kens are always, you know, annoying. And everyone else, you know, I fought Cammies and that's why I wanted to pick up Marissa, because she seems stupid easy.
It is interesting because there is a lot of characters that got a lot of play in 5 who aren't in the game, so like those people are gonna have to find new mains. But so it's interesting that you haven't seen a lot of variety. I too haven't seen a ton of variety. Now, I haven't played as many matches as you have either, so that's probably a little unfair for me to kind of surmise. But like, I'm looking forward to seeing like if anyone gets around with Jamie or Lily or characters like that I haven't really seen any of to this point.
Yeah.
And then we'll end with Cam, who says Pepsi Phil is officially back. Is this the greatest work in the history of wrestling, other than the Montreal Screwjob? I got to be honest, man. Phil Brooks could go away tomorrow, and it wouldn't be a day too soon. I'm just tired of him, man. I'm just tired of hearing about him.
Yeah, I wanted to hear him come back, not for his wrestling, but like to hear his wrestling promos, because like he's still a good promo. And then I got it, and I'm like, wow, yeah, this guy's really fucking ornery.
Yeah,
and it got old real fast.
And again, I can't imagine how it could possibly go wrong, where you literally have a show. Like, you, not that they created this for him, but you literally have a show that some of the roster can go to, and some of the roster will never be on while he's there because they just don't feel like fucking working with him. And so they're going to be like, man, I'll stay on Wednesday nights. Thanks very much.
And wrestlers, you know, wrestlers usually pride themselves on the fact that, like, we got a job to do. Mm-hmm. So when they don't want to work together, like, Like, that's some serious, like, bad blood, man. That's some serious heat. So, I don't know. I like CM Punk. He seems like a nice enough guy, but he also seems like a bit of a professional dick. And but I don't understand, like, the amount. I don't understand the amount of love. I don't understand grown men crying that he came back. I don't. Like, if it affects you, I mean, like.
Look, I was happy that he got to come back to
write a
final chapter and to actually have, like, even though he would never admit that he needed, like, closure for the wrestling business, like, I was happy that he was able to come back and basically like go out truly on his own terms instead of how he went out. But again, like, then you just went and made an ass out of yourself, and you're like, oh, actually, it was probably you that was the problem.
And not what
you played everybody else on. So,
but I don't think I'm going to watch Collision because it comes on, like, Saturdays or something like that.
6:35, baby. Saturday, WCW Saturday Night Times. We're back.
Right. on the Superstation.
Yeah.
I'm probably never going to see it because it comes out on Saturday nights, and I like wrestling, but I don't, not like, let's stay in the house on Saturday night.
There is truly, except for Sundays, which occasionally have a fucking pay-per-view or whatever, like, there's truly
wrestling on every day of the week.
Yeah, every goddamn day of the week. Too much.
Every day of the week.
Too much.
Yeah, it's just, it's a little too much. That's why we do this on Mondays, yo. Like, yeah. I will catch whatever I need to catch.
It is Monday. Raw is tonight. I'm thinking NXT is on. Okay.
Right. So, it's just sometimes it's too much. I love it. I usually just catch up on YouTube and stuff like that. So,
agreed. So, well, that's it for the post office. Don't forget, you can submit questions that we will answer on the show by joining our Discord at densepixels.com/fans. You can go subscribe to this show as well as the other TNP Studio shows. Wherever you download fine podcasts, all you do is search up TNP Studios and you'll find them all. Subscribe to us on YouTube by going to youtube.com/densepixels. Make sure you check out the Dense Pixels FC Fight Club in Street Fighter 6. I'm going to get around to creating a Diablo 4 clan at some point as well. So if you guys are looking for folks to play Diablo 4 with, there will be an avenue for you there too. And then you can follow us on Twitch. I'm Dense Pixels Brad. Terrence is Apparition 410. Carrie is Suppets Carrie. That is it for this week. Again, sorry about no news, but I mean, we never get a weekend like this where all these big games are coming out at the same time. And trust me, there will be plenty of news to talk about on next week's episode. I guarantee it. Thanks to not E3 or Key3. Thanks to Key3. 2023 happening yet again. That's it for this week. Thank you all very much for watching and listening, and we'll see you all the next time.
See ya.